So I'm going to encourage you now, let's get our Bibles open. We're going to be in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles, and we're going to spend our whole time there. We're probably not going to veer from it too much. So 1 Chronicles chapter 17, it begins in verse 1 by saying this, after David was settled in his palace, so King David, obviously, a lot of things had happened to this point. Now, the previous king, King Saul, is dead at this point. The Ark of the Covenant had come back to Jerusalem, and King David had basically moved into his palace, moved into his house. He's now the new king, and he's settled there. He's set up. He's got his office all together. So after King David was settled in his palace, he said to Nathan the prophet, here I am living in a palace made of cedar. Well, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is under a tent. So David here has a good thing in mind. He's thinking about what God has compared to what he has. You know, he's like, well, look at everything that I have. I'm concerned about what God has. I think often we see the heart of David here, like our heart. When we're born again, when we accept Jesus into our lives as a personal Lord and Savior, we have a heart of thankfulness. We have a heart of generosity. We realize how blessed and fortunate we are, so we want to bless others. And we want to make sure that God's taken care of. We want to make sure that God's name is lifted high. And so we see David here with, it's a good heart. It's a good thought. But just like David here in 1 Chronicles, David really knows where he came from as well. He knows that he's favored by God. God has a plan for him, and he wants to make sure that God's house is grander than his own house. David could have easily said as well, like, okay, he could have had his eyes on something else, right? Like, oh, what about all my children I'm going to have? Because I have so many wives, and I've got to take care of them. I want to make sure that for generations they're taken care of. But the first thing he's concerned about is God's house. Make sure that God's house is in order. I think that's just a great thought that David has here. It goes on to say in verse 2, so Nathan replied to David, whatever you have in mind, do it, for God is with you. I think the prophet Nathan is saying, look at the hand of God upon David. Wow, all these great things are happening. For sure you should work on the church. But Nathan is actually wrong here. He actually makes a mistake. He goes ahead of God. It didn't say anywhere we read there that he had inquired of the Lord first and then spoke on behalf of God. Nathan's just speaking out of his own thoughts and his own heart, in a sense. It wasn't what God had in store. So Nathan had no reason to doubt that God was with David, and this seems like a good idea. So often good ideas and things that seem right sometimes aren't the things that God has in store for us. We end up going ahead of the Lord, or we go down the wrong path, even though it seems like a good idea. It would seem like a good idea, right? You know, David's in his house. The ark's just in a tent. Like, what is this cheap old tent over here? We got to make sure that God has a nice temple. And the prophet, God's spoken person, is saying to him, yeah, you should do that. Like, this all seems good, but it's actually not right. This isn't what God wants. And really, whose plan and whose house and whose agenda is it, really? It's God's. God always has a plan. God is always at work, even when we don't see it. Even when we would say, well, the tent, oh God, that's an ugly looking tent over there you got. But God is up to something. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's got a perfect plan and timing for it. In verse 3, it says, that night the word of God came to Nathan saying, I'm so thankful that Nathan was listening and God spoke to him at that point because they were about to go down the wrong way. We should never take it for granted. Now that we have this personal relationship with God, we've been born again, we're filled with his spirit, that we don't need to inquire of God on day-to-day things. We don't need to inquire with God about what we should do or what kind of, you know, anything. We should always put our eyes on the Lord, asking God, what should I be doing each and every day? I love that thought. Even though the favor of God is with us and that we're children of the Most High, we still need to look for direction. We still need to gain wisdom. As we get older, we think, well, I've had so much experience here in this. Maybe I can just do it in my own strength. And God is saying, turn to me. Last week, Chris and I, again, were around the church. And since we're shut up right now and closed up, we've been tidying up more and more rooms. I mean, how many rooms are in this building? So we tore apart another room and tidied it up. And I found this cup here. And this cup is, when you used to come here, you know, you're brand new to the church, and we would want to give you a gift. So we used to give you these mugs. And so we've got a picture here in a PowerPoint for you. You can see it up close there. And it says right on the mug, it says, love God, love others, and serve. Now, this was put out years and years ago, way before my time here. But what I like and I love about the fact is that it's the Lord's house, and God has a plan and a purpose. And obviously, the person that was on staff at that point, the pastor of that time, felt like this was a good slogan for us. And so when we moved here years ago, on TPA Connect, our social media page, I put a post out just making little comments, good to be here, da-da-da. And then at the end, I thought, I should kind of say something, like a little slogan, like a little church slogan. Lots of churches do that, right? It'd be kind of cool. And before I could even think about it, I just started typing, and I just put love God, love people, and love the church. You know that slogan's out there the last few years. And it's so similar to that one, isn't it? Amen. And I just thought, it's God's house. It's not Pastor Rob's house. It's not Pastor Rob's ideas or his agenda. It's God's house, and we need to be attuned to that. And I am so thankful that it hasn't changed. God's words never change. God doesn't change. His house never changes either. This is the Lord's house. That's really my point today, is that we want to be obedient to God. We want to be effective for God. We don't want to go down some dark path or the wrong way. We want to stay the course. So thank God that we're all praying, we're seeking that, we're asking God for wisdom, and I'm excited about this coming year. Just like in the story here with David and the prophet Nathan. David was chosen and blessed by the Lord and used by the Lord. We would see, if you were to just read in 1 Chronicles, tons of times, the Lord was just moving, had his hand upon David. But David still could get God's plan wrong. He could still have his own agenda. Just in a moment like that, he could go down the wrong way. So we've got to inquire. We'd see here again, they never inquired. They just thought they're sitting around. It's a good idea. I've got lots of good ideas around here. But what's God's idea? What does God want to accomplish? And Nathan did the same thing, the prophet of the Lord. He would usually speak God's words after he had heard it. But again, he jumps ahead of God and just speaks out of turn and is off kilter there a little bit. So listen to what God says in response to David's idea to build him a house in the very next verse, verse 4. Go tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says, you are not the one to build me a house to dwell in. Oh, man, that doesn't sound great. I'm thinking, I'm King David, I've got everything in order, God's favor's upon me. Now, what? That came out of left field. What do you mean I can't build you a temple? And God says, you're not the one to do it. I wonder if King David felt like, Lord, everything that you've asked, I've done. Like, why wouldn't I be doing this? I'm doing this to honor you, God. It's the right thing, right? I want to do this to honor you. And God is saying, you're not going to be the one to do it. Make sure we're doing things that God is asking of us, I think is important. And that we're not trying to do things in our own strength or to get our own honor or something that God has in store for someone else. So oftentimes, God has a perfect plan. Sometimes we try and jump in and take somebody else's job, in a sense. So God is saying here, you're not to do it. That's some strong words, actually. Let's read in verse 5 here. I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought Israel up out of Egypt to this day. God is just saying, I've never had a house. I moved around from one tent to another, from one dwelling place to another. Wherever I have moved with the Israelites, did I ever say to any of the leaders whom I commanded to shepherd my people, why have you not built me a house of cedar? See, God never said that, did he? Never asked them. He said, I want you to lead my people. I want you to shepherd my people. I want you to go about and do what I've called you to do, but don't build me a house. Man, that's just so clear right there. I think of it this way, if you were to play baseball, and this has happened many times, and I remember playing soccer one time, and somebody booted the ball, and we were up high. Oh, I got it. And on my ball, everyone's going for it, and I jump up to head it. And my other buddy's like, my ball, and I got it too. And he heads me in the temple. I get blacked out. Like, it was wrong. It wasn't you got to let one person take the lead here. You can't both go for it. So just like baseball, too. I love baseball. You blast the ball in the outfield. You see this on the bloopers all the time. Two players go, my ball, and they both run for it. They both, big crash. The ball hits the ground, and the team's called with an error. Because it was one person's ball. You both can't go for it. And so there's an error on the play. sometimes it turns into an infield home run because the guy makes it all around because they don't know where the ball is and they're all out to lunch. It is funny to think about, but in God's eyes, that's not funny. That's God's ball. It's God's plan. It's God's church, God's agenda. We need to let him take it. We need to let him catch it. We don't want to be caught in error. We want to follow the Lord. And that's the important piece here, is that we've got to follow, we've got to listen, we've got to inquire, and we've got to go, why wouldn't we? We'd be wasting time. Why would we waste time and go down a different way? We want to just be right in tune with what God has and what his plan is. So let's jump back in the story, verse 7. Now then tell David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. So God took David away from being a shepherd boy, and he placed him to be the king over Israel to oversee his people. Never did he ask him to build a temple, though. He said, I want you to rule over my people. God said to David, rule those people. Don't build me a house. I'll be fine. Think about this as well. Like, you think about David, okay. You know, he's got money. He's got people. He could easily pull that off. And Moses would be a similar type and shadow of the same kind of a story. You look back into the Old Testament, we see Moses led God's people out of Israel, led them close to the promised land. And Moses never led them into the promised land because God had a plan for Joshua to do that. Now, if I'm Moses, I'm thinking, all that hard work that we had to go through, oh, I just want to make it to the promised land. God, it would be a good thing if I made it to the promised land, wouldn't it? And God is like, that's not my plan. That's not what I have in store for you. Listen to what my plan is for you. Oh, I don't know about you. If I was Moses, I might be a little bit frustrated. Maybe even David here, a little bit frustrated. You're not going to build me the house. Oh, well, that's different. David could have felt many emotions here. I want to look at three of them real quick. Yet David must not think that because he was not permitted to build a temple, that his appointment was in vain. Like, God, all I'm going to do is go around and, slaughter people in a sense and win wars, but I'm not to build your temple. That doesn't seem right, God. I want to do that for you. And it's like our church. What are we called to do? We can't do everything. We can't meet every need. We got to do what God's calling us to do. What is this church's purpose here? How do we reach our community? There's one thing that God's called us to do. Again, if we did everything, that would be super ineffective. That wouldn't be good. We got to hone in on what God has asked us to do. David's work had fit him well as a man of war. Think back to David's upbringing. This has such a key, and it happens so often. David was a shepherd boy. He was shepherding sheep, and he had to fight off wild animals often. We read those great stories and fight off all kinds of, giants as well. But we see here that it was grooming him to the type of king that God wanted for his people, someone that was a warrior. And we would see later on that his son who grew up under David's care would build the temple. David's son would never be a great warrior because he was just taken care of in the house. But he would be someone that could build God's temple well, even though he kind of blew it at the end. Well, we don't need to go down that rabbit trail. But you can see here clearly God was preparing David from the very beginning. The things that you and I face in life, the things that you and I experience in life are shaping us for what God has for us. Isn't that wonderful to think about? Even though they're very tough times. Fighting off wild animals, not fun. Not easy. You probably got some wounds, probably got some wounds, probably got some battle scars, probably was bleeding a little bit. But it was preparing him and shaping him. All throughout our lives, we've experienced wild things happening, the enemy, in a sense, wild kind of beating at us. We've had to beat them off because it was shaping us and equipping us for what God had for us. So there's one thought. Second thought. David may have thought that he didn't want to miss out on the reward of building God's house. Oh, God's blessing him. He's like, I want to bless God and honor God because that would be a good thing to do. Look good on my resume. I'm joking about that thought. But if David was willing, now you got to track with me. It's a deep thought here. Let's go there though. But if David was willing to accept the fact that God had someone else in mind to build his house, God would actually reward David even though he did not build it. Because if he received the word of the Lord and followed through with it, God would honor David for his obedience to the word, not his effort. Isn't that a great thought? So if he heard that word, you will not build my temple. He didn't lose, and get all frustrated. He said, okay, God, I hear your word. I will be obedient to your word. He would be blessed for doing that. Or, like we do sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, I'm going to do it in my own effort. You just go off and do your own thing. And you're not getting blessed. You're not even listening to God, and you're not getting blessed. You're not going to be rewarded for that. But if you listen to the Lord, even though it probably, to me, it wouldn't even make a lot of sense. You're thinking, well, why wouldn't you let David build the house, God? That doesn't make sense. But it's not God's plan. We've got to tune into that. It's so important. The third emotion or thought that David may have felt, David may have thought, well, if I don't do it, it's never going to get done. You know, who will ever get it done if I don't get it done? Let me do it, God. God's temple shall be built in the time, in the appointed time. Though we may have the honor of helping to build it or the satisfaction of seeing it built, kind of like our church today. You know, what are we called to today as the Terrace Pentecostal Assembly? Well, I don't think it's to build a physical building. This one's pretty nice. I know there's a lot of repairs that we're doing, and we'll talk more about that another time, especially at our AGM that's coming up. But what are we called to do? Not to repair the physical building, but to, just like David, shepherd my people, build my people, love my people, reach my people. I love that idea. Okay, let's get back to the story here. So 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 11. When your days are over and you go to be with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. That is like music to my ears. Isn't that just a wonderful thought? You're not going to build my temple, but I'm going to take one of your sons and he's going to succeed you and it's going to be good. Isn't that a great idea? Would this promise be enough for us? If we think about, okay, you've inquired to the Lord, God, what should I do? Don't build the temple, I get that. You're going to raise up one of my sons, I get that. Like, that's a deep thought. Isn't that just a wonderful thought that God will raise up one of your sons to lead? God promised that his son will not only succeed him as a king, but that he will establish his kingdom. Really, what is that meaning? That God will use this young man. Oh, man, isn't that the prayer of our heart as parents? That God would use our children for the kingdom's sake. What else do you need? I mean, I don't know about you. I don't need a fancy palace. I don't need a hot vehicle or a nice yard. I want my family for generations to serve the kingdom. I want my children to grow up and know the Lord and be used by the Lord, not go down some dark path. Isn't that a beautiful thought? I am done right there. Verse 11, we are done. We can close the deal. That's brilliant. Thank you, God, that God would use our children. It goes on to say this in verse 12. It just gets better. We're talking about icing. God always does this, puts little cherries on top. He is the one who will build a house for me. So David was concerned, well, who's going to build this house? And God tells him, oh, it's going to be your son. Isn't that great? And I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him as I took it away from your predecessor. After hearing all this about his son, we read how David responds in thankfulness. So in chapter 17, if you're there, you got your Bible open, it's a great thing. Just read the whole story. It's great. The first thing is about God promising to David what will happen. And then we see in the second half of chapter 17, we see David's answer, David's prayer and thankfulness to God. Oh, God, thank you for telling. Thank you, Lord. It's just great. So we see this here now in the second half. It says this. In verse 16, then David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, oh, I just love this idea that David went to God. He inquired of God. He heard all those things from Nathan, then he went to say, thank you, God. Oh, isn't that just a great thought, great imagery? What would you say to the Lord after hearing that God would use your son to succeed you and that God would use your family for years and years? That he would treat your son like his own son. That he would never take his love away from him. It would be speechless. It's an answer to one of our top prayers, that God would use our children, that our children would be saved and would come to know him. He would just be in tears. And we see here, it says when he came and sat before the Lord, what that really means is not that he just kind of sat down, like, hey, what's up, Jesus? You know, my homie, just hang out with Jesus, have a cup of tea. No, he sat before the Lord. In the Old Testament, that means he got on his knees, not like even you and I today, we get on our knees, you know, on the side of our bed or something. He got on our knees and he got prostrate. He got his face to the ground and just inquired of the Lord. And was just quiet before God. That's the kind of David that we see and we hear about. It goes on to say the rest of verse 16, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my family that you have brought me this far?" That's just a cry of his heart. Isn't that a cry of our heart as well? We think about God, oh my word, Lord, it's been rough. I've made poor decisions. I'm not all that great, but thank you for choosing me. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for promising to use my children for generations to go. That's just wonderful to think about. Look at David's posture again. He's just like, thank you, thank you, thank you. We go on to read in verse 24. "So that it will be established and that your name will be great forever. Then men will say, 'The Lord Almighty, the God over Israel, is Israel's God.' And the house of your servant David will be established before you." When people look at you and they look at the Terrace Pentecostal Church, 87 years of rich history, do people see or say, "Wow, look at what those people accomplished," or "Look at what that pastor or leader accomplished"? Or do they say, look what God accomplished? And that's really the desire of our heart as a church, isn't it? "Then men will say, 'The Lord Almighty, the God over Israel, is Israel's God.'" That God is in control of his house, that God is in control of the Terrace Pentecostal Assembly, that God will lead and guide this church into 2020 and years to come. Well, we're planning to celebrate our 100th anniversary. I know it's like 13 years away, but still, it feels like it's around the corner. We're already making plans around that thought because it's God's house and we want to celebrate the things that God has done. That's exciting news that a church has been around for that long. Oh, my whole message was the idea that we want to be in obedience to God. We want our church to be led by God, just like David and Nathan here. They're off a little bit, but they got right back on track and they were listening and inquiring. They sat before the Lord. They said, "God, we need wisdom and direction. We have no idea what it looks like moving forward, but we want to listen to you." Isn't that just a wonderful thought? Let me pray with us before we go today. Father, we are just inquiring of you right now. I don't even know where to begin, Lord, but you have a plan and you have a purpose and you want to accomplish your will in and through our people, in and through our church, and we want to be obedient to that, Lord. Father, if we're off in any way, if we're going down the wrong path, I pray you would just close those doors in Jesus' name. And I pray that the door that you've got for us would be thrown wide open in Jesus' name. I pray that each one of us, our eyes and our ears and our heart would be attuned to you so that we could be led perfectly straight towards you in exactly what you have for us in Jesus' precious name. Amen.